yourself tonight.
It's time to put on makeup. It's time to dress up right. It's time to get things started.
No, please don't make me watch it.
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational.
This is what we call a Muppet Show.
Good evening and welcome to the Muppet Show. Or as we like to call it here in the States, the Pinecast. I am joined this week by the one, the only, Mr. I Hate Your Club, Joseph Up the Arse.
Can you hear me?
We can hear him today. He's been taken off mute. He's been taken off of, what do they call it, restriction?
I guess, punishment. I don't know. Punishment. Last week.
He likes that shit, though. And we're joined once again by our good friend Louis Sal, Mr. SD Goon. You can follow him on Twitter at SD Goon.
SD Goon.
SD Goon. I don't know. Fucking people in their goddamn multiple Twitter accounts. I don't know what to do now. All right, so follow him on Twitter at SD Goon. That is Louis Sal. It's been quite the eventful weekend. We had a smorgasbord of football, at least on Saturday. Sunday was not quite the feast that Saturday was, but there was action all over the globe on Saturday. Commencing in England with some early matches in which we saw Chelsea lose again, although they did score their first goal under Rafa Benitez in a 3-1.
They took the lead.
Yeah, they took the lead.
Yeah, it was a well-worked goal, that first one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in a 3-1 loss to the Hammers. We did watch the Arsenal go down to a much better Swansea side.
Much better.
And giving up 2 goals late and looking completely listless and lacking any, I don't know, drive and killer instinct. And then also there
don't
was...
Don't get me started on those puppets.
we'll get to that. We'll get to that in good time. There was also a top-of-the-table clash in the Bundesliga between Dortmund and Munich and Bayern, which was enthralling, but not what I would have hoped for. It wasn't as open and flowing. Attack ended in a 1-1 draw, which was a disappointing result for Dortmund, considering the fact that they'd beaten Bayern all these times and they needed to trim the gap at the top. On to Spain, in which we saw the Madrid derby, which was less than spectacular. And then there was also two finals. First and foremost, our one and only American MLS Cup final, which we will begin with. And then there was also the Mexican League final, in which Los Cholos took on Toluca in the second leg of the Mexican League final. So all sorts of shit.
All sorts of football going on.
All sorts of football, every which way. How did you
just
enjoy
it? Just the way we like it.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy getting it all in?
Yeah.
Did you cram it all in there? That's the question.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the... We'll start with the MLS final.
Let's start with the domestic game.
Locally.
The MLS Cup, local for our hood. The MLS Cup was between the LA Galaxy and the Houston Dynamo. It occurred here in LA, I guess, kind of LA, in Carson at the Home Depot Center.
Closest thing we have.
Yeah, closest thing we got. And the Galaxy won 3-1. Come from behind, losing at halftime. 3 goals in the second half to kind of...
Pretty quick, too, around 16 minutes.
Yeah, and it kind of seemed... the Dynamo got that goal from Carr in the 44th minute, right? Kind of in that perfect time, you know. The Galaxy had been really wasteful with chances. Robbie Keane had been pretty shit in the first half, but, I mean, he just kind of is shit. my hate for him will never disappear. And Landon missed an open goal sitter, which was pretty bad. And then you give up that goal going into halftime. It was quite, it's a terrible time to concede. But they responded well, and second half they kind of just showed, they had all the momentum, they scored the goals, and kind of got the business done. I don't know how do you guys feel about the game?
Oh, it was enjoyable. I watched. I was following it. I watched I think I watched the goal when it happened, and then I went on to other things, but went back and watched it later, knowing the score. So the excitement I didn't get to feel, but I was following it and getting tweets and texts about it.
I was following it mostly on Twitter and stuff. Pretty interesting to see if Houston, a team that's so experienced in the playoffs and so many players that you think, well, these guys pretty much got it after taking the lead. I mean, it's hard to see a team like that just give it up, but got a hand it to LA. They came with it.
It was a great header by, Gonzalez?
Yeah, Omar Gonzalez.
It was a great header. Mm-hmm. Got way above everybody and finished it.
Yeah,
he had a penalty, right?
A penalty, yeah. After some sustained pressure, it was kind of like a couple corner kicks in a row. They were just knocking on the door, and like you knew the goal was coming, and it was just a matter of, you know, it wasn't against the run of play. It was the Galaxy were just kind of knocking on the door, and you knew they were going to get the goal, and they got that penalty, and then Landon dispatched it, you know, appropriately in the corner, and there you go. And it was kind of – and you never really felt that it was in jeopardy after, really. I mean, I know there was like – I think it was one point where they got a decent chance, but there really wasn't too much going the other way. Like the whole swing momentum it really didn't feel like Houston were going to get back into it. And so they did their best, but it never really felt in doubt once they had kind of taken control of the game. And the Galaxy did that well. It was Beckham's last game, which I'm actually pretty happy to see it, but he played quite well. He pinged a few balls, especially in that first half, that were, so Beckham had quite the game, you know, he went out with, I would assume as doing as well as he would have hoped. You know, he had a good performance. He was playing good balls around.
He was dog-ass tired at the end. I mean, he was taken off. But, I mean, he was struggling for a while before he had been taken off.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that they didn't give that – well, actually, I wasn't surprised considering who it was. I was surprised they didn't give him the last penalty, you know.
I'm not surprised.
Robbie Keane fucking took it himself.
No one was going to take it away from him.
No one's going to call me anonymous fan again at a Laker game. You guys saw that shit, right? That caption. Oh, that was beautiful.
And other guy.
Yeah, right. And random fan, right? Russell Brand.
Some random fan and his kids.
Oh, fuck you, Robbie Keane. I don't care.
Yeah, I guess Landon should have ripped that ball away from him and given it to Beckham.
Maybe.
But Landon's not really that kind of guy.
No. But so
you agree or don't agree?
I don't know. I think he probably wanted to take it too. If he was going to rip the ball away, it wasn't going to be to give it to Beckham.
Yeah, probably.
That is probably.
I watched Landon Donovan a few times this season. It kind of looks like he's not entirely sure where he's going to play next season.
I think I read from everything up in the build up was that he wasn't sure if he wanted to continue, and even after he's still
needs to
step away from. Well, I think that would change if he could leave.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be happy to leave and go somewhere else, but I don't think he really wants to play with this team again.
I think he's burnt out. He's just burnt out.
He seems like he's burnt out.
I don't know. What? Take a break and then like just don't play and then wait until a summer move and go to Europe or something? I mean, I don't know. That wouldn't be bad, right?
You get quite a bit of rest,
right? For the first fucking time, he's always played through the entire year. How many times? Like, you got to be your body has to be very physically jaded.
He's not 32 now.
Yeah, but he's got mileage on him like Kobe though. You know what I mean? It's not like a kid who like went to college and played and then got drafted out of that. It's not the same.
Yeah,
it's not the same. So we very well may have seen both of their last games
for the Galaxy. Yeah,
I expect that it's their last. Both of their last matches.
He's said it before, but what else does he really have to prove?
No, he's got nothing. He's got his titles. He's done his shit here. He's been the best player plenty of times. You know, like I'm not gonna hold it against him. You know, like I got no problem
if he wants to continue playing, he should move.
Yeah.
So going forward, that opens up, but what, two designated player spots, right?
At least one.
Yeah, potentially two. Sign up Drogba. I would actually really like to see that. I don't see it happening, but, you know.
No, I won't pay him that.
Fuck a fat Frank.
I don't know.
I don't need another fucking. No, we don't need a big star. We don't need a big, rotund, fucking fat Frank Lampard, sausage fingers McFucker. All right.
Who's going to take your penalties? He's an excellent penalty taker.
Oh God. We've got Robbie Keane.
All right.
I'm just tired of having stars in the team who I fucking hate. You know? And like, I...
All right, which player do you hate the most? We'll put them at the top of the list as they're coming in.
Yeah.
That's how it goes, right?
AEG are following you on Twitter waiting to see who you hate.
Like, who do you hate? Fat Frank? Well, springing John Terry while we're at it.
Yeah.
Great. I'd be pissed off if Cristiano Ronaldo came.
Oh my God, you would not.
I would be. I'd be angry because I would have to love him. I'd be bitter in that sense. But you know, I mean, no, you would never complain if Cristiano came. But you know, give me Ronaldinho and Drogba. Am I asking too much?
Yeah, probably a little bit too much.
Just slightly. That's not being realistic. But I don't know. I mean, I would just love to have someone who would actually, you know, I've been a Donovan fan. I'm happy that we had him and he did well. He's an American star. But, like, I just want someone I can get behind. You know, I can't get behind a fucking old ex-Manc and Madridista. And, you know, I just can't do it. Brand Beckham, thank you for your service. Don't let the fucking door hit you where the good Lord split you.
Yeah, I mean, we were at
the first play in the play-in game. And
they looked well. I mean, looked all right.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you know, they've always
got better. They got better as the playoffs went along.
Well, we always knew if they were fully fit, you know, if they had all the players, if all their tools at their, you know, at their disposal, that they had the talent to beat any team in MLS, you know, and they did the same thing they did a few years back, not quite as dramatically as a few years ago when they went on that big run with a more shit team and just kind of, you know, got hot and won it all. This team, we always knew they were going to be a contender as long as they were in the playoffs, and they handled business. And so MLS Cup champions on repeat. I was talking to a few people about this. I was really bummed that – well, not bummed, but like I wish I cared more, you know? But I mean, like, they're my fucking hometown team, and I'm a Galaxy fan. But it's still like –
It doesn't mean much. It's not the same.
Like a fucking Arsenal.
Would you have traded an Arsenal win for a Galaxy loss that day?
Probably.
Really? Wow. You guys are jerks. I'm gonna tell that. What is that? Angel City Brigade on you guys.
Oh shit. They're my homies, man. Take it easy. All right. Don't think I'm a fraud.
Euro snobs.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be perfectly honest, no, I wouldn't trade the championship for one victory. But if you could trade me, like,
I would.
If you could trade me that victory that for like 9 points over the past three matches, you know, yeah, I probably would.
So it just has to be a little more.
Yeah, okay. just add a little more. If you were gonna tell me if we were gonna beat Everton and who was the other team we fucked up against?
Villa.
Before Everton.
Villa.
Yeah. Villa. So if you had 9 points, if you tell me I had 9 points those three games instead of what, two? Yeah, I'll.
Yes,
two. So 7 more points and sitting in probably like third place right now. Yeah, I'd probably. I would trade that in a heartbeat, probably. But that's a shame though, because I should never want to trade that considering it's a title, and I just wish I cared more because it's a great thing. I mean, having the title here, back to back champions, it's an impressive feat. It's
fourth,
great to have
fourth
it.
One, right? Fourth one.
Yeah, tying the record for like, who else has it? DC United.
No,
or someone,
DC
or?
Has five.
Oh, they have five. So we're second for the most titles in the MLS history in the long illustrious
only
history.
Only repeat? I think so.
Oh yeah. All right, I'll take it.
I want to say DCU repeated as well.
Maybe,
but I can't say that's true. I may or may not have just pulled that out of my ass.
I didn't pull mine out of my ass.
We've seen enough ass.
Which we've seen, you guys see a little bit? earlier? Didn't you guys see enough ass?
No, a little bit.
A whole lot of crack, man. Crack kills.
Nice. Crack is whack.
It was enough. But so anyway, so the MLS season is over, and we've seen, you know, it run its course, and it was exciting. I thought the playoffs were pretty good, and I thought it was, you know, the Dynamo went on a run. We always knew they had a good team, and they were capable of doing something, and then it just came down to, you know, our Galaxy kind of just making it happen. The stars aligned, and Beckham gets to ride off into the sunset like he always dreamt it would happen, and and people get to forget all the bullshit that he put us through in the first couple of years. I haven't forgotten, but you know, I mean, he wins back to back titles on his way out. It's hard to argue against that. So history is going to look kindly upon his stay in the MLS. You have any feel on his stay, Luis?
Well, I was just going to say, I think when you look back at MLS 5 or 6 years ago, and you look at MLS now, I think Beckham will get a lot of credit for that, but I think it's mostly what was driving MLS at the time, which was the supporters groups that these teams have built. There, a lot of supporters groups are very much in control of their clubs in MLS, and they have a very strong voice in what goes on in their clubs. A lot of teams actually kind of suffer for it, like Toronto. Because they had some kind of turmoil and stuff with ownership and three of the supporters groups there. I remember a few years ago, but that's what's actually driving MLS now. But can you say that Beckham helped? He certainly didn't hurt. That's for sure. He made ridiculous amounts of money on his way there, but he didn't hurt the league. That's for sure. And hopefully, you know, we know for a fact that certain players followed him to MLS, kind of saw that as a, hey, I might be a last stop for me, you know, good chance to play my last few years of my career and make some money. And, you know, but looking forward, you have to try to build more than that. You can't just have, you know, these flare ups. You want to build clubs, you want to build, you know, teams for the long term.
Yeah, by the way, I did totally pull that out of my ass. DC won in 96 and 97, and then Houston won 06 and 07.
How is it that I know more about MLS than you guys?
Wait a minute. DC only has 4 titles.
So I pulled that one out of my ass.
So I was right. Yeah, I swear I heard this stat this week. Yeah, they're level.
We could have just kept going and no one would have checked.
no one's gonna fact check Premier League. Not Premier League, MLS. Yeah. Make a GFE on a fucking Premier League stat, and you'll get massacred.
Yeah.
Right? Go figure. To the point that you were making, Luis, I mean, I think you're right in terms of like what the support that we've seen, and they've also expanded really well into the right kind of market. You know, I mean, like all the expansion teams have been some of the most successful teams and have been some of like the best like leading lights for the MLS. As opposed to usually, like you think of expansion teams, you just don't think of them doing too much because like in a lot of mainstream American sports, it's not like they don't really take off the way that this has happened. You know, you look at Toronto, you look at, I mean, even like Vancouver, but like Portland, Seattle, you know, and like even
Philadelphia.
Yeah. And they've got great support in all those places. And you got places like KC making their own stadium, which is apparently the best stadium, you know, from all appearances, that's the best, you know, soccer stadium in the country now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's been impressive, man. It's moving in the right direction. It's true. I mean, you know, we can't fault we can't credit Beckham with the expansion to teams in Toronto and to Portland and whatnot. But you know, he hasn't hurt, like we said, and the league is progressing in the right direction. You know, I mean, for a lot of times, I still felt it was pretty stagnant. But I think for the past like 3 years or so, we've seen like a significant, real move in the right direction in terms of you know, achieving credibility, and I feel like we're starting to get, you know, maybe relatively soon we're going to start getting more players in, you know, in a better, as opposed to just aging stars, we're going to get some players, you know, as opposed to just the youth and the old guys coming here to go out to pasture, we're going to start getting some more talent. So,
yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of room for growth, endless room for growth right now for MLS. Like you said, you don't want just aging stars. You know, you want guys maybe you know, a league that younger guys can see as a chance to get some playing time, you know, some professional experience. MLS teams need to start doing better in I know there's not many, and I know well, yeah, well, that's going to come. That's going to come later, you know. So, but I was going to say that I'd like to see MLS teams take tournaments more seriously. Like, I know it's kind of a joke, but the CONCACAF Champions League, for example, those kind of tournaments more, you know, more seriously, because it will improve the quality of your game.
Yeah.
So how about, I mean, because, so, I mean, we're gonna get into the Mexican League next, but, you know, in terms of, like, the money, I mean, people get paid more to play in Mexico than they do in the United States. I mean, like, it seems like some of the pay disparity has to be resolved if we're really going to bring the talent in, though, right? Don't you think?
For not, you know, it's probably fine. It's fine for the superstars, the DPs, but it's not fine for,
right,
you know, the backup left back.
Well, fuck that. Not even that. I mean, the guys in the starting 11 that aren't superstars. You know what I mean?
There's only a few of them even making over $100,000 a year.
Right. Mm-hmm. And compare that to what's the minimum salary in the NBA? Veterans minimum, what, 800K? Something like that, you know? Like, shit.
Baseball, yeah. It's like 1.2.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, obviously, you know, some of that's reflected in attendance and whatnot, and there's other factors that come into that. But, I mean, really, they need to start paying a little more competitively league-wide and not have guys on 40K, you know, like having to work in the off-season as professional athletes in a major sport. But we'll see. So, anyway, so moving on. The LA Galaxy are champions, and then we can talk about our friends, our neighbors to the south, who have just done something quite historic. Just on the other side of the border, pretty close to where our good friend Luisao lives.
About 18 miles or something like that. 18 miles?
18 miles, just a hop, skip, and a jump right over, right across the border. Right.
Literally a jump. Yeah. literally a jump.
Well, going that way, it's okay, right? Going from the U.S. to Mexico, you could say that, right? That was unintended humor, right? That was not – that was purely coincidental. I saw your face. The stadium's across from Adelitas, right?
Oh, no. Don't do that. No, it's pretty close. It's like a 5-minute cab ride.
Good. I hope they want there to celebrate. Anyways, so the Club Tijuana, right? Los Cholos Twinkles.
Cholos Twinkles.
Twinkles.
El Caliente. Club Tijuana.
Club Tijuana.
The Mighty.
Ganaron el campeonato.
Sí, ganaron el campeonato y convencientemente, sí. Convencieron contra un Toluca que no mostró nada. Okay, so we're going to switch back to...
For everyone else who has no idea what the fuck he said.
Right now.
toca el botón SAP.
No, Tijuana were actually finished joint top. So, I mean, this wasn't a fluky win. This was very much coming for them. This was their third season in the top flight. Less than 2 years after being promoted, after winning the second division, this new league was formed, and there was a lot of uncertainty going into the season because they barely survived their first two seasons. The way promotion and relegation works in Mexico is a point system, and basically, when you get promoted from second division, you're instantly eligible for demotion unless you finish like top table and earn a certain amount of points, or it's like win percentage. So Tijuana did pretty well in their first season. Second season did not do very well. So it was kind of a uncertainty, but with new league rules, this Premier League style kind of league that was formed, Liga MX, which is formerly known as FMF, you know, you didn't really know what was going to happen with Cholos. But yeah, they had an amazing season, and they were pretty much unbeatable at home. And they just pretty much stormed through the playoffs. And Toluca, which could have gone level with Chivas on most titles in Mexican soccer, who also looked impressive all year, just kind of since the semifinals just came out flat, just straight up flat on in both games, the game in Tijuana and the game at Toluca. That surprised me the most out of all of it. But Cholos, it didn't surprise me that they won. They were a great team. I mean,
yeah, and it seemed like quite the comprehensive victory. You know, they really played well over both legs. You know, they played well all throughout the playoffs. You know, I mean, they did, you know, they did the deed, they did the business, you know, all the way through. And I mean, there was no doubting, you know, especially no doubting the winner in that final. You know, they came out and comprehensively won both legs, home and away.
Yeah, their coach Turco Mohamed, who's actually a legend in Mexican soccer, established an identity early on. And some of the players yesterday were mentioning how early on he set that goal for them, despite their rough season last year. Early on, he set that goal for them. He said, "We're going for the title, and this is how we're going to do it." And he basically had them playing a very, I want to say it's very Napoli kind of, in how they just have two or three very dynamic forwards and just really, really stout defense and two just hard-nosed midfielders that just crack your head if you try to get through their defense. And they have a good captain. He's a very tough player as well, Gandolfi.
Yeah.
And they actually have a few U.S. Capped players, Edgar Castillo.
Castillo, the fullback, right?
Yeah, Castillo, left back, and Joe Corona. And they have a few in their under-21s that are also U.S. Internationals that are they're capped in the under-21 level, but not in the senior side. So they have a lot of roots here in San Diego. Joe Corona's graduated Sweetwater High School here.
Local boy, that's always
local
nice.
Boy, big time local boy. Fernando Arce, who was born and raised in Tijuana as well. He's very popular around here. He played for Cruz Azul, Santos as well. They just have an identity. They have a lot of soul, and the support is just, it was from a small wave. It's now grown to, a Poseidon.
So do you think that you think this is the beginning of a good reign for them? Do you expect them to be strong going forward, or is this like a one off?
I don't know if it's a one off, but I mean, looking at their roster, they had five of their first teamers, nine of their first teamers were players that were on loan from other teams. So they definitely loaded up coming into the season, knowing they needed help from players, from experienced players. They had brought in originally a few experienced, like Arce. They had brought in a Pumas, a guy that had won a couple championships with Pumas, Leandro Augusto. And they knew they were in for a fight, and they brought this on all these on loan players. So now it's up to the owner, Hank Ron, to not Hank Aaron, the baseball great, but the guy who owns that betting company, Caliente. To see if he's going to invest in the team. He just built that giant stadium. I imagine he's pretty strapped for cash right now after building that. But, maybe them winning this title will motivate him to invest in some players.
So how soon do we take a walk across the border and go check out a match?
As soon as you're willing to pay $200 on Craigslist for tickets. Season tickets are sold out for the next two seasons in a row.
Oh, damn.
So, on Craigslist, it's not bad. You can probably find some, $60 ones on Craigslist day of. But then, you go all the way down to TJ and then you got some fake tickets.
That's some shit, man.
Yeah.
What do you pick up your tickets to go see the Cholos and TJ, right? Like, fuck. What are you going to do? Like, oh, these are fake.
Yeah. Shit. And just hit up a bar or something.
And so, so one other big thing happened during that final, though. There was a certain man who loves the spotlight, a certain Mr. Jorge Vergara, right? The owner of Chivas.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a team that has a worse PR department than Chivas Guadalajara right now. I'm coming up kind of short, but, Yeah, just it was funny because just the other day they came out with an announcement. They said we would like to announce that we are not interested in a certain player. There was a rumor going around on the social media sites and a lot of blogs that they were interested in Angel Reyna, and former America player, and I think he's Monterrey right now. Yeah, Monterrey player, but. They came out with some dumb announcement on Twitter saying, just want to announce that we are not actually interested in that player, which is kind of a joke. It became just this big old joke on Twitter as a trending topic. And, dead smack in the middle of the final, they decide to drop a bomb. You know that legend Cruyff that we hired less than a year ago? Yeah, well, he's gone now. We went ahead and fired him. I guess they're keeping their coach, Van Schip, for the moment. But nothing is for certain. And, yeah, that man, Jorge Vergara, has turned that team, which is the most historic team in Mexico, into an absolute joke. Top to bottom, the system is just is corrupted, and it needs to change. He needs to show faith and stability in one manager, and he hasn't done that with anybody. He hasn't given any manager more than a year, I think, or two. So he's very much like a Roman Abramovich, but he sells vitamin pills, not oil. So
fair enough. Well, so enough of the Mexican game. As sad as it may be. But, you know, we did see, I mean, I'm happy for Cholos. Cholos.
It's going to do a lot for them and for San Diego. For San Diego, it's a team that a lot of this community is going to get behind. And to me, the most important thing what that means is that there is a market here for a soccer team. And if MLS is looking for a new franchise, I think this is a prime market. And that proves it.
Yeah, exactly. You can take. They're looking to move. Your boy Vergara is looking to move his team. You know, so
I will personally lead a revolt against that.
You don't want the Chivas de San Diego?
No. I'm okay. They're
Miami and rebranded. Is what he needs to do.
Yeah, but he fucking wanted to keep the name the whole time anyway. It's his own fucking fault.
Yeah.
It
was a stupid move.
Yeah, that was the dumbest move. Alienate all the Mexicans that hate Chivas, you know? I mean, because like half of LA is Chivas. It is. Right. Of the Mexican population. But the other half sure as fuck isn't, you know? Like all the America fans, what are they going to do?
Right.
It's not happening. You know, my dad's an America fan, you know? He's like, dude, what? Chivas? No. No, thank you. Like, I told him I had tickets? No. Not interested. No. And that's just it. You know, just like you said, they fucking put a Tottenham team here. Yeah, good luck.
You know? I would love that, actually. Live comedy every Saturday.
Oh, holy shit. And we could just go heckle every day. Yeah, absolutely. I guess just take the piss out of them. Non-stop. Yeah, that would be pretty good. Not bad. So let's move on to the area which is of, you know, it consumes most of our time and which most of our passion lies. And I know it's been nice to kind of skirt around the subject so far this week.
I was not get to it so quickly. I was having a good time. It's like,
Wait, is there anything else to talk about? Nothing. Okay, we're done.
Nope, nothing. Did you guys catch the luge competition this weekend?
Yeah. It was awesome. Total luge-tacular.
how about that game against Swansea, I guess?
So the Swans.
Right into it.
Yeah, might as well.
I saw a bunch of stuff written and I thought somebody, it was nice by our friend John Cross.
Mm. Your BFF?
My BFF.
For life.
Forever blocked. It should be my name.
Mm-hmm. As well, you should be.
Yeah, but, that first goal, although he took it well, it was quite a fortunate, how that ball fell in order to get to him.
Yes.
So, I mean, I like how they totally discounted that, especially him. And then, you know, again, it was a great taken goal, but it was a big error by Jenks.
Yeah, on the second goal.
On the second goal. And they had the two opportunities and he took them and fair play. But it wasn't like, I mean, I don't know. We played like crap.
It had felt before that it was going to end 0-0, though.
It did.
It really did. I mean, I know. And then the big argument after the match was like, oh, well, Chesney made all those saves. It could have been a lot worse. And I was like, okay, well, after he made those saves in the first half, you know, and whatnot, it felt like the goal didn't feel under threat, really. You know, it's not like Swansea were having many a chance in the second half. It was all Arsenal.
And no one was blaming Chesney afterwards.
No, that's
a moot point.
Yeah, no one's blaming him for the goals because the goals were well taken. But I'm saying is that, like, you know, he made good saves earlier in the game to keep them out. But, you know, throughout the balance of the second half, it was Arsenal knocking on the door, albeit uninspiringly, without much verve or you know, cutting edge. But it was, you know, if a team was going to score a goal, it was going to be Arsenal. That's the way the feel of the match was during the second half. And then...
Yeah, during the second half, yes.
Yeah, the first half, we were out-hustled,
yeah,
out-passed.
Out-worked in every area of the field.
And they did exactly what they were... they did what Villa did, really. They did what Villa did. They closed down and forced us to make decisions with the ball, and we made poor decisions with it.
Yes.
And Arsenal just been lacking like any incisiveness, that killer final ball, the pace of the passing, the movement.
Are we playing Arsenal bingo right now?
I don't know, man. It's just fucking.
I don't know. It's been pretty bad for a while.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's just, you know, I don't know what. Unfortunately, unlike most of what I see written or tweeted or argued about, I don't know what needs to be done to fix it. Apparently we need to fire everybody and sell everybody, but
mm-hmm. That was my solution. I was going to run down one by one the players that need to be sold.
Well, I did that during the summer, but only three of them were actually sold that I wanted. We still have a lot of dead weight. I mean, that don't play, or, well, I guess they'll play tomorrow, but... or today, depending on when you hear this.
It'll be today, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we go from it. It's just so up and down. It's in October after, I think probably after the West Ham match, it was, well, Arsenal only has like 2 years left in his contract. Are they going to extend it? And now we've had obviously a really, really bad run. And now it's time for him to go, and he's lost the plot, and the players don't believe in him, and it's hard to know, to keep a level head, to know what they're. Well, I know what they're going to do. They're just going to keep the course, but
right. Well, to me, just to sum up the Swansea game, it was just, you know, at some point you hope the team stops sliding down this, you know, slippery slope that they're on, this form wise, and. It just, at times they feel like they were, you know, the tread on the tires was grabbing, you know, and we were getting going, but it never really got off the ground, and they just outworked us in every area. There was a few occasions where it really hit me that our midfield, the gap between our midfield and our defenders is so huge sometimes, mm-hmm. that opposing forwards are able to lose the first header and still win the ball, the second ball, after it bounces. That is an area that needs to be addressed badly.
So how do you feel about the fact that, like, you know, Wilshere's back, but, I mean, he's not quite at top form. You know, a lot of people thought – I mean, it's kind of like his return to the team – many people thought that midfield was going to click. And that, I mean, because on paper, all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, Arteta, Wilshere, and Cazorla, then, now really be clicking. But that trio, which has played the majority of the matches lately, has not really fired at the level of which we would hope it to be. And I know the thing is that, like, all those midfielders are tired, you know. And Jack's just barely coming back, so you can't expect top form from him right away.
But you've got the three you named, which sound great. You see it, and there's
on paper,
speed.
Yeah.
There's no speed.
Yeah, there's no pace.
That's not his game. He's not someone who's going to run right by you necessarily.
But have we ever had it midfielders that had a bunch of speed? I mean, like, I'm just trying to think of even earlier.
Move the ball quicker, at least.
Well, true.
And we do have some that have a little bit of speed and can take it through, but at least right now he's not.
Don't count Diaby. He does not count.
I'm not.
He's a figment of your fucking imagination. All right.
He's a ghost, really.
The ghost of Abu.
You've been spot on all year with Diaby, so I'm not saying anything about Diaby. I mean, we gambled like you said we did, and he's not fit, and we're hurting because of it. And not just because he's not there, but someone isn't.
So, Rosicki, who just came back? I mean,
he can move the ball quickly as long as he's not spinning around like a top all the damn time.
Well, he twirls because he only uses his right foot, man. He's got to turn to fucking hit that outside of the footer, you know?
Outside of the right foot.
Outside of the right foot.
Jack's
no left.
Too.
Yeah, Jackson,
you know.
One-footed as fuck. Although he's got a sweet little one-footed move that he does all the time. That, you know, when he receives that pass and he moves sideways, it's beautiful.
That one that Ramsey tries all the time.
yeah. Ramsey seems to do it like three times
doesn't,
in a row. And, like,
doesn't
in a
quite
circle.
Come off the same way though.
People said it. Who we've got right now kind of been found out. You know, I mean,
well,
Arteta is not physical enough for some teams.
Well, it's true. No, it's true because there's definitely been points where, like, you know, I liked Song, but I didn't love Song. But he had that physical presence that Arteta doesn't quite have. I mean, you see Arteta kind of get pushed off the ball a little bit, and then his pace gets, I don't know how many times every match, you just see him, like, running, and you're just like, oh, fuck.
He's getting burned, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, or he's getting sucked up. Yeah, come on. Exactly. R1. R1, motherfucker, come on, move. Like, dude, this is some shit. And it's, I mean,
I feel bad for Arteta. I mean, the last three seasons, he's changed position.
Yeah.
At Everton, he was a number 10. He was a play behind the striker, you know, get the ball higher up the field. And then his first season with us, you know, play box to box because Jack Wilshere can't do it. And then now he's just been straight out, you know, holding midfielder all year. Next year he's going to be center back. The year after that he's going to be goalkeeper. And then the year after that he's going to be kit man. He's just going to keep moving further up the stands.
Well, I mean, as he goes into his 30s, it's a nice way to kind of ride
in
the sunset.
Get some more years at the end. Don't see anything wrong with that.
You're doing more than what Squillaci does to earn his money.
It's a young man's game. And can't ask your 32-year-old midfielder, as reliable as he is, to play
I hope Squillaci starts tomorrow.
He is starting. Have you seen the team sheet? He's going to start.
Show me that squad again. You were just looking at that shit. But, yeah, there's a lot of problems, though, man. It's like, obviously, the lack of attacking options is a big factor. It's a big factor. And I think the consensus is that Giroud's doing a pretty good job considering, you know, like with tempered expectations, he's doing relatively well, you know. And the thing is, a lot of times he doesn't get great service up there and there's not much creativity coming around. And like, you know, in those fucking few minutes when Gervinho was playing up front and then, of course, in the first half, like he gets two great balls served up to his head. You're like, fuck, like now they're there. Why are they there when Giroud is there? And And Gervinho, man, I've hoped he would come good for so long, but he doesn't. He's a fucking one-trick pony that really doesn't have much of anything else. He's got no vision.
No.
He's got no – I don't know. He's just – his sense of everything on the field seems a little off.
You know, I think it's, they know – defenders seem to know if you pressure him a little bit, he's going to quickly try to get rid of the ball. Or if he tries to have a go at you, we know what he's going to do. Right.
Yeah. He's at his best when he's not thinking, you know, when he's just, when his eyes are fixated on the ball and the defender, you know, that's what you want. But, you know, it's too easy to defend and people have figured it out, you know. Just put a little pressure on him, he's going to go back to his keeper. He's Alex Leb all over again. It's sad because he was so good in the beginning for us and he's fast. And he could finish sometimes, but he's not really an option going forward now. And like you said, Giroud, he works hard. He does all these things that you kind of expect him to do. But looking at our forwards, at all of them, you know, even Theo included, you know, there's not really anyone where you could say, hey, in a close game, this guy's going to pull it out for us. And, you know, this guy's got that little bit of a – of quality that can, you know, win us a game or get that turn and hit that shot that we need. We don't have that right now. I think that's actually has a lot to do with why Jack Wilshere seems to be struggling is when you see him face the goal and look for a pass, we don't have movement. There isn't people making diagonal runs. There isn't people, coming for the ball. Everyone just kind of stands still and hopes that the next guy figures out what to do. You know, no one really taking the lead in that sense.
So we make the same, and also when they do finally make a run, it's the same run every time.
There's a lot of predictability. There's not much invention. There's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot of anything that really, you know. Also, you know, we know Arsenal to play good attacking football and playing with creativity and movement off the ball. And that's like, I mean, that's what made me an Arsenal fan watching them play, is the way they moved off the ball, how fast they moved, and, you know, all those kind of things. And these are some things that are kind of drifting out of Arsenal's game, you know. And it's just been like this. It's a bit of a pale shadow to what, you know, to what the football used to be. And it's, and I know it's clicks here and there, but, you know, obviously the Spurs, you know, 5-2 always, you know, it like that was nice, and there was some good attacking play in that match. But it's not been enough. It's not been consistent enough. And a lot of that, as alluded to by many other people, is the fact that also there's way too much fucking turnover in the team. There's way too many new people. You know, it's like you can only interchange parts so frequently and achieve continuity. You know, yeah. Like, how do you expect when you bring in three new starters and, you know, and like you said, when you lose your best players, this and that, like year after year after year, like, it's going to be hard for everyone to seamlessly integrate and, like, you know, play fluidly after all that.
Absolutely. That's what I've said that is a problem for the last few years. You know, not only are you selling players, you're selling your best players, your players that create for you. And you can't expect things to get, you know, easier. You're counting on Jack Wilshere to be fit all year when he hasn't played for 14 months. And that right there is just a sign of how kind of dysfunctional we are right now as a team, as a management staff, you know?
Yeah, it's not fucking good right now.
No, it's not. And there's no way to dress it up. There's no way to dress it up.
I mean, we're poor. We are. I mean, we're sitting 10th. We're poor.
Mid-table.
Yeah. But I would like to point out, even as poor as we are, we're 5 points behind third.
Right.
I mean, it's bad. It's really bad, and we should be much higher up the table.
But it could be worse.
Just
wait till next week.
Just wait till next week. Well, each week. 9 behind.
Yeah, shit. Don't worry. And we've been
seeing. There is a lot of football left to play.
And
right now,
that's Barcelona in the Champions League.
Yeah. You know we are.
Oh, God. It's going to be something like that.
No, you know it. At some point, we are going to run into them. If we progress that far, you know what's going to happen.
And so everyone's speculating on Wenger, what's going to happen with him. The January transfer window, who we're going to buy, who we're not going to buy. And it's not, I don't know. It's, everyone has their fucking pipe dreams of who's going to come in and what's going to happen, but it's not, let's be realistic. We know what's going to happen. Like, it'll be an Henry loan, it'll be one or two other players. Maybe one player that plays right now, one player that's one for the future, you know?
I thought it was going to be three players before the season started. I thought it weeks ago when we were still doing okay, and even in turmoil, still think it's going to be three players.
Yeah, I don't see it changing unless it's some really serious shit that goes down between now and then.
But we all know that it's not. We're not going to buy three $20 million players, £20 million players.
Certainly no, not. Everyone's looking at that $150 million right now with the, you know, their mouths watering.
One would every suffice, Arsenal. Though. I mean, one £20 million player would suffice, don't you think? I mean, if you were to bring in, if they were to outlay $20 to $30 million, right? If they spent 10 on one and 20 on another, or 18 and 12 or something, you know, like that, you could probably get, Wenger knows how to get value for money. I mean, I think if you added one more player to the starting 11 and another player to the squad, that's a, you
know, a the thing about getting players in January, and it's everyone says it, but you know, I'll say it again: top teams don't want to release their top players. So even if you wanted to spend that money, it you know teams aren't going
to
sell.
Exactly. You need. It's going to have to be fucking be a bargain basement deal, or someone who's out of contract, or some bullshit like that.
Exactly.
And you know, and so everyone has their answers, right? Oh, Huntelaar is going to be the savior, you know, and like this and that, and like I mean, who fucking knows? You know, and
yeah, Schalke are gonna give up their top goal scorer they're heading into the knockout phase of the Champions League.
Doesn't make any sense.
Even if they weren't going to go forward in the Champions League, would he come?
Well,
other than money, from where he, if they were just,
well,
you know,
why wouldn't at, right? why wouldn't he? But I mean, the thing
well,
is,
because he sees the same things we see.
Yeah,
his management would see the same things we see.
Well, the only thing that matters right now is that Schalke are in the Champions League knockout stages. It doesn't make sense for him to leave. You know, even for the club, it makes more sense to keep him there until the end of the year. And like, you know, fuck it. I mean, not like we'd pay. What would we pay for him with 6 months left in his deal? $8 million. You know, the fuck is Arsenal going to pay for a player like that? Yeah. You know, with 6 months left, it's more worth it to Schalke to keep him for the rest of the season. And with them still being in it, it doesn't make sense for him to leave. And you know, there's a bunch of shit with him that wouldn't make sense. Like obviously, his goals would be very much so welcome, but you know, he's not known for doing well on the bench. You know, he's a sulker. He's got that Dutch douchebag to him. You know, which is, I mean, he's a fucking prick, just the way all the Dutch are. I mean.
Yeah, look, pretty much.
I mean, like it's a fact that they're a combustible bunch, a bunch of them who do not get on too well with each other. You know, look at all the shit that you read about what happened during the Euros. You know, his behavior has not been exemplary, and also the, you know, in his style. I mean, he could do well wherever.
I like his style. I was gonna say
he could do well wherever he went, but I agree with some of the people that think that like maybe. A different style striker, someone who could play center forward, but someone that's more of a, you know.
The thing about Arsene is he never signs a player that's specific to one position. Very rarely does he do so. He looks for players that he can move around. You know, a player that can only play one position is useless for him.
Right.
You know, he wants a guy that he can play wide and play central. He wants a guy that he can play attacking midfielder and box to box. He likes those kinds of players. He doesn't usually get a guy. We already have two guys that.
Well, I mean, we signed
center forward specifically.
Well, I mean, we signed Eduardo, and he was the kind of striker that I think that we kind of need right now. I mean, like a striker like you need. We need a fucking Chicharito, you know. We need a goddamn fox in the box who knows how to get at the end of goals. You know,
I think Giroud can do that. We're just not very good at crossing right now. And
well, right, but I'm talking about like you know, a little bit of sneakiness, a little bit of trickery, more pace, you know, like we need
like
a mobile fast striker. We need Falcao, but that shit ain't happening.
No.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that's the mold of the striker that we need. We need that predatory. We need a fucking David Villa, a Radamel Falcao. We need someone, and obviously those players are out of our price range, but you know, we need a poacher striker who is, you know, elusive, pacey, and causes trouble. There's not enough pace in our front line. You know, we have, well, I guess not for much longer. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, Giroud's not that quick. Theo doesn't play as the lead man too often. And he, as it stands, will probably be leaving. So, you know, and Gervinho's fucking useless. So, so it leaves us pretty thin in terms of real attacking, you know, dangerous options. People mentioned Adrián from Atletico, and he's a pretty solid player. He had a good season last year. But he hasn't really done that much this year. And I guess he's of the mold of the style of striker I feel we could or should bring in. But realistically, I don't see what. I mean. Is it going to be somewhat a rabbit out of a hat? I mean, who fucking knows who we're really going to bring in?
I don't think it's going to be anybody up front. I mean,
you think it's just on?
No, I think he looks at this team right now, and the biggest weakness is the midfield.
Yeah, I agree.
the way he sees it, he has plenty of options in attack. He doesn't look at it as they're not good enough. He looks at the numbers. How many forwards do you have? And then he'll look at how many midfielders do I have?
So what kind of midfielder? Box to box?
We need someone strong.
Big and strong.
We need a strong, defensive, hardworking midfielder, I think. And Arteta's good in the role that he played last year, but he is not built for that role. He's not a physical player.
I mean, he gets pushed. I mean, the same way we can see that when Aaron Ramsey gets caught, Arteta gets caught in the same way. I mean, they put a body on him and they move him right off
the
ball.
Yeah, they shrug him off.
Neither one of those two have the pace to get back.
True. Recovery speed's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think two players in the midfield are more likely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I can't see more than one, to be honest. But I mean, I suppose doing the math of the numbers, I mean, you wouldn't expect more than one, really. I mean, two would be nice, but I don't see two midfielders coming in.
I mean, unless we're able to move one of the 15 forwards that are listed under forwards that need to go, I mean, then maybe we get a forward and a midfielder.
Didn't you hear Bentner's loan might be cut short?
No.
Really?
You didn't hear that? Oh man, that was good. It was end of last week. They were saying something like,
"Break my heart." Wait, don't you?
Something that Juve had been disappointed with his loan spell and might cut it short and send him back.
just keep paying him and shut up.
Oh dear God.
Yeah. With the squad we have, and this is the one we need to live with for the next 4 weeks and, I don't know, 8 games left in the month?
Possibly the next 6 months.
I mean, what can we do, what can be done with the squad that's available right now? I mean, to go better into Saturday's match.
I mean,
we're not even talking about tomorrow or Tuesday's match.
It's tough, yeah, because Tuesday's match is a throwaway match. It's a, you know, obviously we would like to win it, but it's more important that the squad, like, we are qualified. It's more important that the squad gets rest and is ready to go for the Premier League match at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look at this list. Scalacci's not only in the squad, but looking at the rest of the names, it looks like he's going to start.
Where the fuck is Giroud? He's out injured?
Yeah, I think Giroud is injured.
The fuck?
I think he mentioned it sometime earlier in November, and people thought it was Olivier.
Johan,
I think, is hurt.
Goddamn French got to work on their accents. Not Giroud.
And
is
even
Giroud.
Has some sort of knock, so he didn't travel.
Well, fuck me.
So that's why I think Scalacci starts.
Great. It's, the squid making his last his swan song. Arshavin starts on the wing.
Rosicky probably starts.
Yeah, Rosicky.
Chamberlain starts.
Maybe.
Ramsey
starts.
Coquelin.
Coquelin's got to get a start.
Start. Jenks.
Yep.
I guess you. Does Chamakh start?
Fuck.
Oh yeah.
And then the rest of these names.
Fucking.
I mean,
the Moroccan pony.
From the youth games, but
the grease pony.
Man. I don't even know how to pronounce some of them.
I don't know that this game is. We're saying it's a throwaway game, but last year it was not a throw. It actually kind of screwed us.
Yeah, it's going to screw us again this time. But we're sitting 10th.
Priorities.
Yeah, the priorities.
Priorities, man.
Already?
We got into the knockout round.
We're already giving up.
Yeah. No, we're not giving up. We're through.
We obviously don't have the squad.
And it's also not in our own fucking hands if we win the group, you know? Like, let's play conventional logic. And, you know, and think, you know, we would expect Schalke to beat Montpellier.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what you would expect. That's what the standings would denote. So, very good chance that we're playing this game all for nothing, you know, in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so the priority is to get your health – the players that need rest need to be rested, and you need to, you know, take care of that first and foremost. I wish that more of those young players were ready to come through, but, I mean, it's a tough time to bleed anyone, you know. You know, I mean, of these kids that are going to be playing, even a lot of these guys are going to be playing, even if they are involved in the match you know, against Olympiacos aren't really the youngsters that we really see coming through. I mean, it's not like Afobe's playing. It's not like Anike is playing. It's not like, I mean, Eisfeld's not even there too, right? I mean, I think he's got a knock who's someone who played well against Reading, you know? So, like, the players that you could see even maybe making a contribution, right? Even Serge Gnabry is not – he's out. He's not available. He's got a knock too. So, like, the young squad players you could think maybe getting some playing time, right? We said – you know, Wenger said that that Eisfeld will probably get some Premier League minutes this season and something like that. Those guys aren't even going to be playing tomorrow. So, you know, it's hard to expect something from these guys. I mean, hopefully there'll be some that are available for the Carling Cup, and maybe they can do something well come that match next week against we're playing Bradford. But we'll see, man.
Well, then look forward to Saturday. To West Brom at home. And okay, so the tired excuse is out the window.
Pray.
Well, you just hopefully all we can do is hope for that for many of the squad that played last Saturday, that some of the sharpness and maybe that the decision making will be a little bit better because their bodies aren't so tired. That's all. I mean, I don't know what else we can hope for. You know, the system's not going to change.
No.
You know, the substitutions aren't going to change.
No.
So all I can hope for is they won't be so jaded.
Oh, jaded, 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 Judy.
I mean, I've tried everything that I know how to do. You know, I've worn different shirts. I've worn different underwear. I did all my, you know, all the tricks in my own cosmic messed up head to try to help the team perform, and it hasn't worked.
No.
Hasn't worked.
No Tabasco on the pinky?
Nothing's worked.
Tabasco on the pinky. Wow.
That's enough of that.
Tried everything. That didn't work.
Oh, man. And, yeah, it's tough. And I guess the other grilling issues everyone's talking about, right? The only other thing is people talking about is Hazard's, you know, has his tenure run its course. Right? I mean, that's the big thing on people's mind now, right? I mean, I'm not one to think that that's the be all end all or that's the solution. I mean, if I could, you know, and let alone like that, then it's like, well, who the fuck replaces, you know, like who else could come in? Like, do you even see anyone else? I mean, even if that were the case, could you see anyone else coming in? And obviously it won't happen during the season. So let's not even speculate. But I mean, like it's tough to even say that shit. Cause like, I can't think of anyone who would, you know, like who would come in and do a better job.
You know, I've gone kind of back and forth. I thought, well, maybe they need to hear a new voice. You know,
yeah.
We heard that all summer, right? Well, thank God Pat Rice is leaving because they needed a new voice. They needed someone better on the defensive side, to someone, you know. And then we got changes in, you know, in the staff, and well, it hasn't really helped, or it doesn't appear to be. So, you know, that wasn't the problem.
Yeah,
so isn't bigger the problem? I don't know.
I don't know, and it's tough to say. I think it's too early to say they're not playing for him, because I think he's still, you know.
I think if you ask most of these players, they don't want anyone else coaching this team. They love the way Arsene Wenger teaches the game. That's a good thing and it's a bad thing. You know, he instills all his belief in them, but he also doesn't. I don't think he always tells them the truth. And sometimes he does, but he probably doesn't do it the way we do at the television. and we as fans think that that's the way that you motivate, you know, footballers. But, you know, it's so hard to even begin to imagine him walking away or the board saying, you know what, Arson, it's your time to go. I don't see it happening anytime soon. The owner, you start at the top. Your owner's happy. Obviously, he's so happy.
Certainly.
He just bought an $100 million ranch in Montana.
£80 million ranch, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Looks pretty nice.
I wonder if I could mow that. I wonder if I could get a job doing that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, give us all jobs. He said it's like 71.
Oh, he's gonna pimp that shit out. Tons of money on that shit.
Yeah, that's all he does.
Right, it's
that's what he does.
Leading production of a bunch of.
That's what he's been doing for decades.
So he's happy. The board's happy. You know, Arson, he doesn't appear happy, but he, you know, he has a job and he does the best he can, and he's happy with that, I guess, you know. But until, as Joseph said many times, it's the structure is not going to change unless, you know, financial insecurity by us not finishing the Champions League, and, you know, season ticket renewals not being what they are, and people stop going to games. And that's plain and simple. We can sit here and speculate and say this guy's a good candidate, that guy's a good candidate, but it's not going to change. Arsene's not going to walk away, and we're not going to release.
Well, we can only hope for the best, right? Fuck, man.
Oh, one thing I say, so we don't go out on a bad note, is one game, I think this team is one good game, and it'll turn around for them. But whether that means we'll shoot up to fourth or third in the table, who knows. But I think one good game, which hopefully is the West Brom game coming up on Saturday, and I think they can turn it around.
Well, last year we had, what, 2-3-2 matches against them home and away, didn't we?
Something like that.
I know the 3-2. I think it was 2-3-2. 2-3-2 matches against them last year.
Two matches that ended in 3-2. Yeah. I think they're the kind of team that sets up nicely for us to play against them. For some reason, we always play good against West Brom, you know, as far as attacking play.
Maybe as not long as Almunia is not in goal.
Yeah, exactly. He's getting beat near post, but that is his middle name.
Almunia near post. Manuel near post Almunia. Yeah. Fucking A. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me in the lovely doom and gloom of what is the new Arsenal landscape. It's not that bad. It's not that bad yet.
When it's bad, it's never as bad as you think it is.
Right. It could always be worse. We could be Liverpool. Shut up. They're still behind us right now, okay?
Yeah.
That is enough. And they're not in the Champions League. Okay, it's going to take a little while. There's some daylight.
Oh, one match.
All right, Muppets.
One match.
All right, the rest of you Muppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, Muppets.
Fucking Muppet your way around.
You don't even matter.
We don't matter. Who
don't
cares
matter.
What we say?
You don't matter.
Point. Yeah,
what Muppet shit. Are you, though? I'm Kermit.
I'm Animal.
I'm that grumpy ass in the balcony.
No, fuck you. Oh yeah, you are fucking old man. What the fuck's his name?
I don't know. Old man number one. Pick one. The one that still had hair.
No, you're the shorter one. Whichever one that
still
is.
Still had hair.
Yeah. No, he had a mustache. Yeah. Yes.
You know what?
He had hair on the sides. He had white hair.
No,
on
the sides. They both had hair on the sides.
I guarantee that we'll be corrected on which one.
Yeah. Whatever. Fuck you, that guy. Nakanza.
Someday I hope to count. Something. That's all.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, so that was lovely fun talking about that. Well, I guess I'll be done talking about MLS and the Liga Mexicana for a while.
Yes.
Since those are done, we can focus on important shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the Arsenal can pick it up. We'll see some good Champions League shit. But next time we come back, there will be I believe the seating for the group stage is this Friday, right?
Yeah,
so we will see. The draw for the Champions League and determine.
That's easy to see that one, the presenter, right?
Oh.
That's my favorite part of the Champions League draw.
Yeah. Is she better looking than the Milan physio?
I don't know. The alleged Milan physio is all right.
The alleged Milan physio?
Yeah,
what
right.
is this?
It's a little like Mila Kunis right there.
Yeah, not shabby. It's on 101 great goals right now.
Yeah. Check it out.
Let me see.
He's like, whoa, got it.
Holy smokes. Wow.
Gotta investigate this.
Chelsea physio is got a challenge here. Wow.
I don't think there's a challenge.
Yeah. You guys have not seen the Chelsea physio?
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't think there's a challenge if this is correct.
Wow.
He's saying it's hands down.
I think this one's hands
down. Yeah. Fair enough.
Molto bene, as the Italians would say.
Fair enough. All right. So you can follow Joseph on Twitter at I Hate Your Club, and you can follow Luis at SD Goon.
Yes, sir.
No butchering of any names and handles today. Not on my watch.
SanDiegoGooners.com.
So you can also follow my good friends at San Diego Gooners, at San Diego Gooners, and join them for a match if you're in the area at Shakespeare's or at
Bluefoot.
Bluefoot, yeah. Lovely place. I was down there. I joined Luis for a match there just a few weeks ago.
Yes.
We didn't lose. We did not lose.
We have yet to win on... Oh, wait, no. QPR last year. Quick QPR at home last year.
Yeah, I was there. It's just not... It's when we
it's
all
a poor... It is a poor record, though. You're I think you're 1-3-2, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know about that.
Or 1-2-2.
1-2-2 sounds about right.
Yeah. 1-2-2 is probably...
Scales are one loss tipped in the... I'm one below 500, technically.
Yeah, it's... Joseph is... No. You're like 2-0-1, I think.
Well, he was there for United loss last season.
No, I know. That was his one loss.
You said 0-1, man. Come on, dude. Didn't you know you got to say the loss in the second column, yo?
I think I'm 2-1-0.
Well, fair enough. He's not doing too well with the LA Gooners.
Oh, no.
He still hasn't been there for a victory.
Oh.
So we're just going to, you know, call him the reason for all the failures. He actually might come to a match, right? You're going to come to the match this week?
I'm going to try to come on Saturday.
Oh, so Saturday. Come out and join us at – join the LA Gooners. Follow the LA Gooners on Twitter at LA Gooners. Come out to the Fox and Hounds in Studio City.
It's a great pub. I liked it.
It is. It's a lovely place.
It's fun. And it's good atmosphere.
Yeah, the way the results have been coming up, the seats have been popping up more and more. I actually had a place to sit last time when I went this past weekend. It was nice. The seats have become a premium, but now with the results the way they're going, I mean, it's flock's thinning a little bit. So let's fix that. Let's get people back on the fucking floor.
I think you guys need a march. You guys should march.
You should march? That. Fucking LA's too big, man. I can't march that long, especially at like 4 in the morning.
March from the 405.
It's like 20 miles.
Go from 405, God. 101 connector.
We got to connect all this shit a little more. This is terrible. It was way too far.
Way too far apart.
Way too far to be having beers and marching at 6 in the morning and shit like that.
Because you're Muppets. You're not committed.
Yeah. Well, so be it. So, yeah. Well, anyways, to hopefully talking about victories and glorious things in the future. Thank you, Luis. Thank you, Joseph.
Thanks for having me.
We'll catch you next time.
I bet it's more fun than here.